I had a fever. I also had a sore throat. But it was quite mild. I could take like ibuprofen, unknowingly that it is quite dangerous, and then it could heal me. I could feel better. And then I moved along. It was almost a week where I had mild symptoms, a cough, but my temperature was quite high. I was feeling very weak. My body, I was feeling very weak. So all are the symptoms that were like interchangeably. Sometimes you have two of them, sometimes you have all of them, and they keep changing. But what was very, very outstanding about my symptoms was the itchy sore throat. That one I will never forget. It was so irritating. It was unusual. I've never experienced that before. So those were my symptoms.
Did you at any time require hospitalization?
What happened is I was very lucky to get ambulance services come to my rescue on time. So everything was done at home. I had NHS 111, doctor on video Skype, or test done here. So mine was better because I was not a case, because I had a blocked chest. I had mucus built on my chest. I couldn't breathe. So everything was done at home. If I had gone to hospital, given how infectious this disease is and all the issues around the viral load, the doctor advised that I could be worse. So mine was actually treated by secondary treatment, which is a heavy antibiotic at home, just to clear the mucus which was on my chest.
So you did not require like any ventilation?
No. Those who saw me emergency, they felt my lungs were still okay. Although, of course, later on I'm discovering something might happen, but they felt it was the chest that had blocked more than the lungs not breathing well.
Are there any exercises that were recommended by the doctor while you were still quarantined?
Yes, he definitely did. And also NHS 111 also did. They recommended me that I do cardio, anything around the chest, because with my chest, I'm still having these breathlessness still. With my own issue, it was like just the doing any cardio, like I was using my torso, like a woman who is grinding. Zimbabwean women like on the guyo, and also I would take a walk outside my house 2 miles, and then I would walk a little bit like on the uphill so that you start breathing your lungs naturally. So I was still very much at the natural level, but I had to exercise the lungs more to bring them more air, and also to not too heavy. Sometimes you don't have to do it heavy, and then I do weight lifting where I lift, you know, my weights here. They are my son's waist, and then I leave them a little while so that I just breathe in and I also breathe out. So there are exercises to help you breathe in and also breathe out. So I did those and it helped quite a bit.
How about food? What was recommended for you?
Because I was reacting to meat for the first time for some reason, I don't know why. So I stopped the meat. I also stopped the salsa and rice and potato, and then I started taking mostly tomatoes mixed with lettuce, with cucumber, and then eggs, boiled eggs, 3 per day. And then I started also checking things like any vegetable works very well, because it's a lot to do with your vitamin C. You have to have vitamin C in abundance because it helps to boost your immunity. So I did very well. And I just want to advise everybody that vitamin C really works well because it builds your immunity system.
You also said you had problems breathing, and at one time you nearly collapsed. What were you feeling?
What happened, according to the doctors, I had mucus build-up, so it kind of blocked my breathing. It means air was no longer going to the lungs. So that's why I was not a hospitalization case, because it was just a matter of treating the secondary infection, that's the build up. So when they gave me antibiotic, the mucus, it was yellow in color and very thick, started coming out. So it was just a matter of getting treatment. If I didn't get that, that could also have affected my lungs, ending up with very acute situations. You are seeing like you have lungs that are like a honeycomb, crystal, like particles of glass. So I, according to doctors, and I'm yet to get more tests like next week, mine did not deteriorate. I don't have scarred lungs at all. So I can say I was very lucky, because they intervened at a time when it was still the chest that was blocked. So I had a stiffness of chest, so people should check that very well, because when you get stiffness of your chest, it means it has moved quite a bit. It's really a dangerous stage. You should actually get anything to treat that quickly. So I can say I didn't get to my lungs being affected, but I was on the verge of my lungs being affected. So it ended with just blocking the chest. You can't breathe. That's it. So when I called the emergency, I couldn't breathe. I just needed something to clear my chest quickly, and then I started breathing again.
And how many people have lost their lives within your community?
We have got 78 people here in Stanford, Le Hope. We lost somebody who is the owner of the taverna, you know, the pub people go to. We lost him. And then many reports of the children, because I'm also an independent social worker, mom to one of the children died. I've received quite a number of deaths. Been very, very sad here. Very sad. I'm not able to tell you the loss, but because I'm almost breaking down, we are in the middle of bereavement. We have lost 78 people in Essex only. And there could be more. We don't know. Not looking good at all. Things are not looking good. Blessing, things are not okay. Things are not okay. I don't know why a disease could come like this. And you know, like this child, her mother died. I don't know. I haven't even gone to her. This is a child I've been working with. I don't know why a disease could do that to three people. I can't. I'm not able to understand what's going on. My head is like round and round. How can people die so much? So many. And also, something I didn't tell you, we've got thousands of people not tested. They're in the homes. They're sick. And we created a WhatsApp group. People can't breathe. And we can't even go to hospitals. Hospitals are full. A workmate of mine, we fell sick sometimes. She went to hospital and she waited 5 hours before she could allocate a bed. It's tragic here, very sad. I don't know. I can't understand this at all.
My deepest condolences for your loss, and I'm glad that you are recovering very well.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand, Blessing. We mourning. I mourned myself in this house. I was mourning myself, and I said, my mother, can I come? Just you look, I can't breathe. I couldn't breathe. I lost my breath. I was alone in the room, and my family cannot come in. So I said, this is the end of me. You see, I'm talking to you. But sometimes I feel I'm dead. I feel I'm not here on earth at all. I don't know how people are going to heal. Do you know how people will heal from this? Where you die and then you're dead? I don't know. Your whole breathing stops and you know I'm gone. But then you're told you're back on earth. It's all of that mental health. I don't know. Sometimes you don't know where you are. You don't know. You're just waiting for people like you to call them to say, are you alive? Then you say, yes. Things that happened in my room here were so scary. You know, this breath doesn't come at all. You'll be blocked on the chest. And then when you breathe, you are like, thank you. You are just asking for air. And also, during the time I fell sick, there were no ventilators. You are told not to come to hospital at all. You are assessed in the home, and they decide whether you go. But you go to the hospital when you are virtually dead, I think. So I've never seen this. I've never seen, you know, people, like, I mourned myself. I was my own death. I suffered in terms of just trying to tell my chest to unblock, because it had something like concrete, you know, concrete, and then it stays heavy here. That's what happened. It's very dangerous virus.
Yeah, I can tell it's really something. What will be your last word to people in Zimbabwe in particular, and in Africa in general, where there are now cases that are on the increase?
I just told them that, no, it shouldn't go anywhere. Africa, Zimbabwe, please don't allow any further infections anywhere. Just stay inside the homes, the facilities. As you can see, I'm in UK, but look how difficult it is just to get the treatment at the moment in UK. And I'm thinking, because I've lived in Zimbabwe all my life, and also I've traveled Africa, and I can imagine if the virus is to spread through populations, it will wipe out a whole generation. So my suggestion is just to stay indoors. I know there are economic challenges, I know there is hunger, but you know what? The double tragedy of hunger and death will be worse. It's better we prevent death that is coming from miles away. And hunger, we have had it for long. I think we have developed strategies in Africa. We'll stick to that. This disease is very, very serious, this virus. It's complex. Nobody knows anything about it. So don't spread it amongst yourself. Keep to your families. Make sure you are well covered when you go outside. And also, yes, wash your hands. And if there is anybody in the family who is sick, use warm remedies as well. Like what I did, making sure that we have got vegetables in Zimbabwe. Eat lots of them. Drink lots of water. Buy vitamin C like I did. Because your immune system is going to save you. Your immune system is the one that stands with you, because virus does not have medication. But also know symptoms in your own language. Gararwa in Zimbabwe is what I heard myself. Know it. It goes and sticks on the chest. Describe it. Sore throat. It's different when they say sore throat here, means different from Zimbabwe. So no, kuvariwa pahuro. I want you to describe it. I don't want you to stick to the terms that foreign countries are using, because your context, language-wise, is different from us here. So I want you to master this virus with your local stories. I want research to start to say who has got it, how did they get it. Let's not wait for Britain and other countries. Let's do local knowledge inside there. I'm one of your own. Look at what I've written about my experience. And you can also use that to treat others, because there's no medication at the moment. We can't leave people to die. We have to go by what is there. What is there is to boost our immune. And what's there is when somebody starts not breathing, like what happened to me, call emergency. And if they can be put on antibiotic, let it happen. We must understand this virus in our own countries. Let's not rely on outside. Yes, we can share research, but what is coronavirus according to Zimbabwe? How are the symptoms? What do we call them in Shona and Ndebele? What do we call them in Nambia, in Chichewa, in Swahili? That's what I want to hear. I want you to own the issue, not to leave others to own your lives. With this virus, it's individuals standing in the homes. Isolate your children. Little ones, little kids are also catching the virus. And don't get any lies that black people are not falling sick. I'm a black woman. I fell sick, very sick. engineer death. And also know that when the virus is treated, when the symptoms are gone, you also have the after effects. This can also be mental health, it can also be anxiety, it can also be bereavement, because sometimes I'm mourning myself. The reason why I can't come on video is I can't be close to any light. My eyes are blinking. They are scaring a lot of people when I want video. So there are all those things that are happening. So I would actually say unite against this virus. It's a virus all over the world. It's not sparing a country. It's not sparing a people. All of us have fallen victim to it. It doesn't matter whether Africa is what. It's not a virus about temperature. It's just a virus. You get infected, it stays in your body, and then it goes to someone's body, and it goes on and on and on. So that's my advice, blessing that I want to give.